Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Barbera. And before we get going with this episode, I wanted to tell you guys again about the Black Sheep Open that's happening this September. So September 14th, it's a really cool event. It's a great networking event for anybody in the real estate space. We have around 200 people that attend. It's a lot of fun, a lot of sponsors, a ton of giveaway, a ton of cool swags, prizes. Again, great networking, fun games. If you've done putt-putt or top golf, you more than qualify for this, because the way the format is set up is a scramble tournament, which means that the best ball plays. So there's four people in each team. So it's four chances. Somebody has to get it somewhere on the fairway or on the green. And then you play the best ball and you keep doing that. And then you get a lot of benefits. Like there's a lot of games throughout the tournament that you can play that move you up more, that give you one stroke less so you can win prizes. It's a ton of fun. Plus all the vendors there, all those sponsors that are going to be at each hole, they tend to give away really cool stuff. A lot of times they give away alcohol, which makes it even more fun. So at the end of the day, even the pros are not playing like the pros. So it becomes a great day of just being outside, networking with people. And the best thing is that all the proceeds, every dollar made in this goes for Homes for Our Troops. And they build adaptive homes and give them away to wounded vets. So, I mean, it's a great cause, it's a great charity, and we bring the whole community together so we can give back to this great cause. Year over year, we've been growing. It's been producing a lot more this year. I mean, we already have a ton of people signing up. So if you're looking to play, if you have a team in mind, you can even sign up individually. You don't have to sign up as a team because we'll pair you with good players. And a lot of people go individually, and then you get to network while you're there. It includes a free banquet dinner that's a lot of fun with a lot of raffle prizes and stuff. So it's a great tournament, a lot of fun. Go sign up right now, blacksheepopen.com. I will put the information below. Here's the cool little flyer we created. So go check it out. Go sign up. There's already a lot of people signing up as is, so get your spot. And it'll be a ton of fun. And if you have, we still have a few holes open for sponsors. If you know of any sponsors that might be interested, they get to set up a booth right there at the hole and get to talk to every golfer as they walk by. So it's a great opportunity for any sponsors. So cool. That being said, hope you guys attend. Let's get into the episode. So this is episode 30. In episode 30, I wanted to talk about the number one issue most landlords face. And the majority of landlords that I've dealt with have the same problem. And we're going to cover that. We're going to cover how to solve it, how to fix it. Also, the reason I know is we fell into that same problem ourselves. Everybody I know has had it, especially when you're starting off and you kind of get into no real estate. So it's a really big issue every landlord has, and we're going to cover that. So getting into this, pretty much, why is it that most people want to get into buying real estate, right? As a buy and hold strategy, because it's hands off. At least that's what they think. They think real estate investing, buy and hold rentals, is something that you buy it and forget it, like a stock. It's definitely not a stock. You understand, real estate investing requires a lot of oversight. It requires that you understand where you're buying, why you're buying, how you're buying. You know, it matters everything about the property. It's not something that you just buy it and that's it. And then a lot of people think that, you know, you put a property manager in place. Well, you know, the property manager takes care of it. No. The property manager, which I still feel they're very badly labeled, should be called tenant managers. They're not property managers. They don't manage the property. They manage the tenant. Their only job is to make sure the tenant is happy. Now, this doesn't mean the property managers are bad or anything like that. I love property managers. I don't want to own real estate without one, even though we do right now because we only have a few. But when you get to scale, like, you should have property managers. You understand? But you need to understand they're there to manage the tenant. So when a lot of people talk about, I get a property manager because I don't want to deal with toilets, It's fine, but when that property manager deals with toilets, it's going to cost you a lot more than if you would have dealt with the toilet. So it's stuff that you got to keep in mind when, especially if you're starting off, you don't want to buy rentals thinking that, you know, and especially how I see a lot of people buying rentals right now that are barely cash flowing, barely, and then they put a property manager in place, because then any call to that property manager pretty much wipes away your cash flow. Because if any little thing, something happened with the AC, any type of service call, they don't use the cheapest people. Because property managers, they're not in the position of saving you money. They're just in the position of saving you headaches. So that's it. If there's a problem, they will solve it, because they will solve it. But it's going to cost you. We have my business partner, John, has a rental property. And they had a step that pulled away from the house when they fixed the foundation and all that. He called the property manager. He's like, hey, can you guys get the step fixed? Because, you know, it's going to be an issue for the tenants. And they're like, sure. They quoted him like $750 to fix one step. I was like, Jesus, we're in the wrong business. We need to start fixing steps. I was like, $750 a step? Oh, man. So ridiculous. I mean, obviously, he got one of our contractors, went out there and got it done for a lot less than that. Same with the sink. We had a rental property call us that there was a problem with the faucet in the kitchen. All right, fix it. But they call us when it's a fix that's, I think, over $200. So I didn't understand why they were calling us. Well, it turns out there was going to cost like almost $500 to fix that faucet. It cost us $100 in an hour worth of our time to go out Lowe's, buy the same sink faucet, go there and change it. 1 hour and $100. I think it was less than $100. And they were charging us well over $500 for that. Again, not their fault. It's just that's how they operate. So if your cash flow is $200 that month, you would have been negative $300 in cash flow. You understand? You would have lost over, you know, 2 months of cash flow right there. It's insane. But you got to understand these things. So another reason people buy is because they say, well, I picked up this property really cheap, right? And, you know, there's a lot of properties in San Antonio that you can pick up really cheap and cash flow a ton. But you have zero appreciation. You're in a bad area of town. You're probably going to have trouble tenants. You understand? Like, cheap isn't always the best. There's a lot of markers that you got to put into place that need to make sense for when you're buying a good property. And a lot of these landlords, usually they call them slumlords, because these are properties that are in the slums, right? Not necessarily 100% of the time. It's just more or less that's where you're going to find very cheap properties with really high cash flow. And the reason it's really high cash flow is because rents go up, but the values never go up because it's in a bad area of town. So they buy it cheap, and then they buy hoping for appreciation. So it's like, yeah, I don't have a lot of cash flow or any cash flow or negative cash flow. There's people in Austin that buy negative cash flow because they bet on appreciation. And the reason I use the word bet is because appreciation is not guaranteed. You are not guaranteed a certain amount of appreciation every year. You're not even guaranteed appreciation every year. If we get any type of slowdown, anything, that appreciation stops instantly. And if you're already not making any cash flow, that comes out of your pocket, directly out of your pocket. That property is no longer worth anything. It's not even taking care of itself. Personally, I think that's a bad strategy, but to each his own. You know, you got to have your own strategies on when you invest. Cash flow, purely cash flow, right? Again, with buying it cheap and buying the wrong property, they'll only focus on cash flow. And it's like, I get it. Cash flow is great, but the property still needs to be worth something, right? Like if you needed to sell at any given time, you need to make sure at least you can walk away from the house. You understand? Stop overpaying for these houses because even if you're buying a cheap house that cash flows a lot, let's say you buy a house for $50,000 and it rents for $700-$800. So you're excited, right? You're $50,000, you're going to cash flow a good amount of money. But then you get into trouble and you got to sell and the property's still only barely worth $50,000. Like you're going to be in some trouble unless you held it for years that cash flow actually amounted to something. So you know, cash flow alone isn't always a great play. Yeah, I believe that there's a happy combination of first, like when we kind of invest in real estate, and I'll go over this in another podcast, but it's pretty much more like I want a nice, healthy combination of cash flow and appreciation. And then we can, once you get a good amount of properties doing that, then you can speculate a little bit with just appreciation plays and with just cash flow plays. But you have a nice little foundation of cash flow and appreciation, right? More of a, maybe like a 60-40, like a little heavier cash flow than appreciation, because again, appreciation is not guaranteed. So that's not a hard number. That's just kind of what we look at. And then they think it's, you don't have to do any major rehabs on rentals, because they'll buy the house and they say, hey, we have a really hot rental market in San Antonio at this moment. So they're like, people are just desperate for a house. I just buy it, paint it, and get a tenant in there. And this point actually leads me to what is the number one issue most landlords face? It's deferred maintenance. Deferred maintenance is hands down the number one issue, like the majority of landlords are going to face when holding rentals. And this happens to savvy investors. This happens to passive investors. So all kinds. It happens to everybody. This is nothing new. This is not something that's just to newbies. Deferred maintenance is a serious issue because it literally sneaks up on a lot of people. It's something, because real estate is such a long-term investment, especially buy and hold, and you are talking about years of holding it, it's stuff that just slips by. And it keeps slipping by until it becomes a massive, massive animal that now you got to put down. You understand? And it's going to cost you money to do it. We just picked up another property. It was a rental property from somebody. And same thing, you know, they're like, man, but the houses in this area are going for 150, and you know, you're only offering me like 70. And I was like, yeah, because you have a ton of deferred maintenance. I mean, this house hasn't been updated in decades, you know, and then you have foundation issues, you have roof issues, you have, you know, plumbing, kitchen, bathrooms, like AC, it has issues everywhere. You understand? So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of deferred maintenance. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you just did not take care of when you had the property. So we meet a lot of people that they buy a property, and I see this a lot within the investor community. Like, it's not that, you know, these are one-off investors. This is why I'm making this. It's because I see it a lot in the investor community. And they tell me, you know, one example was somebody that they had foundation issues in the house, and they were like, well, I'm just going to hold it as a rental. I was like, perfectly fine. If you're holding it as a rental, you have no need to fix the foundation right now, right? But keep in mind that when you buy this house, you need to buy it knowing that you're going to have to fix the foundation. Budget that in already when you're buying the house, right? Because, and if it's not major foundation issues, you can get away with it. But if it is major, you have to address it at some point. Because the issue you have with foundation issues is that eventually it starts causing plumbing issues. And then other types of issues start getting involved in the same situation, right? The brick starts cracking, the siding starts breaking, the house starts looking a little more worn out. Bigger cracks appear through everywhere. The doors don't open and close. The windows don't open and close. So it starts gradually getting bigger and bigger. And then what happens is that a lot of people, they're like, oh, we're not going to deal with the foundation issue right now. And then they go ahead and they do all brand new flooring everywhere, like really nice flooring. And they patch everything up and they texture everything. And I'm like, you got to fix that foundation issue sooner or later. And as soon as you do, you got to redo everything you're spending money on right now. So it's like, why not just take care of it from the start? If you take care of it, if it's that serious and you take care of it from the start, then you can go ahead and update everything. Now, where it helps you, and this is with all the other issues, is that when you have a property that you updated in the beginning, this is why we like to do that with our properties. We like to buy them, fully renovate them, like we're going to flip them, and then rent them. Because then at that point, our goals are usually to rent them for a few years. We don't look to rent them for 10, 15 years because of where the market is in San Antonio. So in a few years, we know our property is still going to compete with whatever's new on the market. Because we're going to put, you know, we put granite countertops, new cabinets, laminate floors. We paint everything. So it has everything pretty much brand new. All we got to do is when we decide to sell in a year or two, is go in, touch up paint, clean some things here and there, and it's good to list. I mean, that property will comp to another property that's in brand new conditions. You understand? So what that does is as the years go by, you capture that future appreciation. Because that's what a lot of people don't understand is that, yes, while it makes sense today, it may not make sense a year or two from now. Because what ends up happening is that if you get caught in an area where we ran comps the other day, and we see that, you know, this person had their house rent for $1,400. And then we're seeing other properties on the market right now in better conditions, not updated, just better conditions, renting for $1,425 and $1,450. And that's going to hurt them because now your property is more dated than theirs is. And theirs is not completely updated. It's just in nicer conditions than yours is. So what's going to happen is when they compare apples to apples, yours no longer is worth $1,400, which is what you used to get. Now your rent actually goes down if you want to rent it quickly. Because now if you want to rent for $1,400, people have a better option for the same, for $25 more, they have much better options. So when you go apples to apples, like, it just doesn't compare. And again, you start letting it get dated, you start getting deferred maintenance, the property manager comes in to fix any issues, and what happens is that the majority of the time, they'll just do a patch job, right? Very rarely are they going to really go in and get to the root of the problem. They're just trying to fix it so the tenant can just be there and be happy. So they do a lot of patch jobs, and if you're an out-of-state investor, which a lot of people that get into trouble are, it gets to a point where you start seeing patches, and you're not keeping track of all this, and now things start costing even more money to fix. They've broken down. Now you got to rush and get them fixed because you still got a tenant in place, so you can't leave them, let's say, you know, a week without AC. You got to get the fastest AC guy out there, buy whatever AC unit is available to replace it. I mean, things get very expensive. And that's how people get into trouble when it comes time to investing. So one thing that we like to do, again, is, and this isn't a solution for everybody, this is just how we look at it, is factor in when you buy your property, factor in everything that house is going to need to be flipped right now, right? If you wanted to flip this house right now, in that market, in that neighborhood, what do you have to do to the house? You have to do new siding, new windows, flooring, kitchen, bathrooms, foundation, AC, landscaping. Did I say plumbing? Electrical? All those things. What do you have to do to the house in order to sell in today's market as is? So when you factor all that in, that's where your offer should be on this house. Your offer should always come in at what you need it to pretty much flip at. Because now I know a lot of you are like, oh yeah, but I'm never going to find a deal. No, bullshit. You will find a deal. There are deals everywhere out there. We are always finding deals that meet this requirement. You understand? It's just that you cannot be a motivated buyer. The deals do exist. They are out there. But you have to put in the work and you have to stick to your numbers. So then, like, we're doing a property right now, we're picking up, and we essentially got to do about a $45,000 renovation on the property. But we don't have to do it right now. So this property that we're looking at, we actually can pick it up, clean it, paint it, we're going to put flooring in, and then just leave it as is. Because as is, it gets us the rents that are very competitive in that market because there aren't any other properties for rent in the area. And that rent is already going to be helping us cash flow a good amount of money, right? And we don't have to do anything else because nothing else is urgent to the property. Nothing needs to get done right away. It doesn't have major foundation issues. It's dated, but that's it. But nothing that a fresh coat of paint, new floors can't fix, right? So we're going to do that, cash flow on it, let the appreciation in that neighborhood keep rising because we see that, you know, we already have our minimum already capped. We know that if we were to put the 45 and flip it right now, we'll make some money. But if we wait, we let that appreciation rise like it's been doing in that neighborhood, what we're going to do is rent it for maybe a year, two, maybe 3 years. And then at that point, once we've gathered that appreciation, we'll go in and do a full renovation on that property. But we bought it right now with knowing that if we need to, we'll do the full rehab right now and sell it and still walk away with some money. Now, it's not a huge home run deal, but it's a deal that would put about like 20, 25 grand in our pocket. It's not a killer deal, but it will make money, right? So it makes money that way. And now if we hold it, it's going to make even more money. You understand? And now the loan that we need to hold it for that next year or two is even less, which means higher cash flow. You know, so now we're getting great cash flow. We have good equity and we have all that built in at the price that we bought it. So it's a really good deal. You understand? And that's how we're running that one. We closed on another one recently. This one, I'm going to put the case study where we're just finalizing the refi right now. So I want to make sure all those numbers come in. So I put it in. But this one we picked up subject to and we renovated and then we're refinancing. So that one, same thing. We bought it subject to, but this one we actually did everything we were going to do anyway to flip the house. With exception of not doing the roof just yet. We know the roof is going to have to be done and we factored it in. It's just that we are not doing it right this second. So that being said, you know, these are numbers that that matter when you're buying a property. So then we buy it knowing that these are the numbers, knowing that we got to put this money in. And then we start making educated risks with saying, okay, so are we fixing it right now or do we want to wait? We'll rent it for less right now. We know we're going to rent it for less, but that still means some good cash flow for us. And we'll hold on and just let it ride, right? And then in a year or two, we'll go ahead, dump that money back into the property, fully updated, brand spanking new, and put it on the market and sell it. You understand? So that is a strategy that we like to implement. And then again, like I said, we'll go in like this one, completely update the whole house, and just leave the roof out. Because it's not leaking. It's just old. And then knowing that when we sell it, there might be a chance that we got to do the roof. And it becomes a really good negotiation tactic at that point as well. So these are all things that you want to keep in mind. When you're going to pick up a rental, deferred maintenance is the number one cause for you to lose equity and for you to lose potential cash flow. If your house looks like crap compared to the houses in the neighborhood, it's not going to rent as well. But if your house looks awesome, if you updated it, every year, if a tenant moves out of anything, you can always justify higher rent. And then if you need to, just go ahead and sell the property. It's fully updated. It's ready to go. You don't have to do anything to the house. And then you can predict your problems, right? If you say, hey, we have an AC issue, but it's still working. So let's hold off. We'll hold on to it and we'll try to patch the AC knowing that at some point we got to replace the AC. But it's already in our line, in our budget to replace that AC. We're just not going to do it right now. The issue a lot of people do is they say, hey, we don't have to replace the AC right now. So they don't even factor that price into their purchase. And that's, again, when you get in trouble. So you want to factor all these things in. And yes, there's still deals that you can do this with and they still make sense. They're still going to make you money. You just got to be patient. I mean, there aren't the amount of deals that there were back in the day. Like they're harder to find, but they are out there. You just got to get out there, let people know you're looking for deals, let people know you're looking for rentals, and you will come across deals that meet that criteria. So that's pretty much, you know, again, deferred maintenance, biggest issue, things to watch out for. I'll kind of list off a few that just came to my head is pretty much, you know, foundation issues, not fixing them are an issue, plumbing lines. It's, I think, about $400 or $500 now to get a camera and run all your plumbing. Do it. It's worth it. Because if you have a property like we have right now that you have a tree branch breaking one of your sewer lines, that's an issue. It's going to cause backups. It's going to cause plumbing issues for your tenants. You want to know that up front because that could be a $3,000, $4,000 repair. You understand? And it could be a 4 or 5 day project. So you want to know that in advance to make sure you're not getting into those troubles. But any plumbing issue, updating any plumbing, like the shutoff valves and all the plumbing fixtures. If you want to do the single shutoff, single valve plumbing in the showers, much easier to repair than when you have like the three knobs. All new water lines, everything, toilets, all those things are going to help tremendously. Electrical, is it updated? Do you have GFCIs everywhere that's required? Are all your lights working? We got a property right now that you just kept flipping on switches and nothing was turning on, nothing was working. So you want to make sure all your electrical works, all your plugs work, all your outlets, because if not, that's another call from your tenant. HVAC, we talked a lot about that. Your roofs, if they're not leaking, that's fine. But if they're dated, keep that in mind. You're going to have to replace those roofs because they will become an issue. Gutters. Gutters are a big issue. In San Antonio, we always talk about that there's two types of homes. Houses that have foundation issues or houses that are going to have foundation issues. And gutters is something that can help delay foundation issues. Because if you put gutters in your house and you can pull the water away, you're not going to have those massive rainfalls just pounding on the foundation of your house. And what happens here in Texas is that we have really, really hot summer, really dry weather. So the ground dries up so much that it starts kind of like cracking and separating. And then we get flash floods because you don't have a normal rain like most of the U.S. No, you have massive flash floods that rain for like 2 hours straight and then the sun comes out. So for that 2 hours straight, you got buckets of water just falling in all those cracks. And then your foundation starts weakening and breaking. But if you can put the gutters, pull that water away so it doesn't come directly from the roof and just drop down, that you can just divert the water away, maybe build up the soil up against the house so when the water comes up, it rolls away from the house. Even when you buy a house and you see that the landscaping is pointing towards the house, keep that in mind. That's going to be waterfall hitting your house. You understand? So make sure you keep that in mind when it comes time to holding a property. So I hope all this helps. Again, number one issue is deferred maintenance. And there is a way to prevent it. There is a way. We went over it, how to make sure to avoid it. And, you know, I hope you guys really got some value out of this. Check out the blacksheepopen.com. Sign up. Send it to your friends. Share this podcast with any one of your landlord friends or anybody that you think is interested in becoming a landlord or is one. Because a lot of people, when I tell them this, they're like, man, you know, I never really thought about it that way. So, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it helps you. And again, keep sending me your questions, anything you guys want to know or anything that you're curious about, let me know and I'll address it. So thanks a lot for listening and keep sharing, keep sending us love. We appreciate all your support. Thank you.